pray you do. Let's turn to the book of Titus, chapter number 2. Titus, chapter number 2. We'll be reading verse number 14. And then also we'll be reading, have a number of verses tonight. You cannot study the subject of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ unless you run reference, and it's all over the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, you're going to find the subject of the precious blood. And that's what we've entitled these series of messages that we've been trying to bring. And this is a third in the series. It'll probably be six or seven, eight messages somewhere through there. And on this subject, you say, how can you find that much? Well, I'm having trouble just condensing it down to get it into just four, five, six messages. And the Bible is full of the teaching of the Word of God, is full of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now tonight in Titus chapter number 2, and verse 13 tells us that we look for that blessed hope, the appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 14 is what I want us to look tonight. It says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Who gave himself for us. I want us to notice that tonight. The Bible says he gave himself for us that he might redeem us, and that we have redemption and salvation because of him. And then the verse of scripture that we've used every study thus far, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18, the Word of God says, for as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. I like those last two words of that verse, for you. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ was manifest. That word manifest means he was made known. He was manifest for us in these last days that we might understand the plan of redemption, the plan of salvation. And I want us to think tonight upon the subject of redemption of the blood. The redemption of the blood. And I'm glad tonight, thank God, that we have assurance from the Word of God that we have not been redeemed by corruptible things, as 1 Peter tells us, not the things of silver, gold, not those earthly things, but we have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to be speaking tonight, primarily tonight and probably next Sunday night, on the subject of redemption. And when you study redemption, you cannot study it apart from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you study the blood, you cannot study that unless you go into this facet of it concerning redemption that we have in the Lord. Redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in the days, I really believe, as the Scripture tells us, we're living in the last days, these latter times that is upon this earth. But I'm glad that God has spoken and has allowed some folks to write good songs about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking this afternoon and this morning upon some of these songs. We've sung some of the old ones tonight. At the cross, where I first saw the light. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. There's power in the blood. Those are old standby songs that have been sung in the churches for years and years and will continue to be. It doesn't matter how many people try to take the blood out of the songbooks. Doesn't matter how many denominations try to take the blood out of the Bible. You cannot separate the blood from salvation, and it is predominant. And I'm glad there's some folks that have still written some good songs about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just listed some three or four of them. I thought, first of all, when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. Thank God tonight, when the Lord Jesus Christ, when God looks down upon me, he sees that I'm pure, spotless, and righteous in his sight because he sees the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought of the song, it's still the blood. Doesn't matter how long we live, doesn't matter how far we go in life, it's still the blood that makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus. I thought of that song, I claim the blood of Calvary. I'm glad tonight I can claim that blood. I can fall upon my face and claim the precious blood of Jesus Christ and know that it has set me free. And then I think of that song, the blood will never lose its power. Things may change, people may change, but God does not change, and the blood of Christ will not lose its power. Still has the power to save. There's wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. The Bible is a book that is filled with blood. I tell you what, I didn't realize it maybe as much Before began this study, as I do now, but the Bible is a bloody book, and it's a book of redemption that is by the shedding of blood. From Genesis to Revelation, there's a scarlet thread that runs through those books, every one of them, concerning the shedding of blood, the redemption of mankind by the blood of that one that was to come. We find that the blood is the central principle. We find that Jesus Christ is the central person, and the cross is the central place of the Word of God. And when you take those three things out, you do not have the Word of God. If you remove the blood, then you have removed salvation. If you remove the Christ of that blood and the Christ of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, you no longer have salvation, because it was He that shed His spotless blood that we might have life. And then if you move the place of the cross, if you move Calvary out of the Word of God, you have no Bible. You have no book that's dependable, because there upon Golgotha's hill that day, Jesus Christ hung suspended between heaven and earth, and He shed His blood. He did not spill His blood. Don't say that. Don't sing that. He did not spill His blood. When you spill something, that is by accident. But my Savior, He on purpose gave His life and shed His blood that you and I might live eternally with Him forever and forever. There's much said in the Bible concerning the blood. The Bible tells us in the book of Leviticus, chapter 17 and verse number 11, the Scripture says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul." The Bible says here, the life of the flesh is in the blood. If you don't have the blood, you don't have life. And we find many principles in the Word of God concerning that. Blood is for an atonement. It's for a covering. In the Old Testament, those priests, they would make their sacrifices, and they'd go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and they'd make an atonement for the sin of Israel. And all that did was cover the sins of Israel and push them forward another year. But I'm glad to thank God, when Jesus Christ came, He didn't just make an atonement, but He took away our sin. He didn't just cover it, but He took it away and flung it as far as the east is from the west. Every sacrifice that man had to offer had to be a blood offering and a blood sacrifice. But there's one blood that was not to be shed. And the Bible very clearly tells us that the blood of man was never to be shed. You see, God has placed and put upon this earth Adam and Eve, and He gave to them children. And Cain killed his brother Abel, and the Bible says that the blood of Abel cried unto God there in heaven. God never intended that man's blood be shed, but the animals was to be shed that would make an atonement for sin. And so we find that redemption is the work of God upon a people that have been sold into slavery and have been given unto sin. That word redemption just simply means to purchase or to pay the price. And that's what the Bible tells us there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. It says, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye have been bought with a price." And that just simply means we have been redeemed. We have been purchased by paying the price. And we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And the Scripture says, "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Not only does redemption mean to purchase by paying the price, but it also means to release by paying a ransom. To be released. And thank God we have been released from our sin. Redemption not only means to be purchased or be released, but it means to buy for oneself. To buy for your own reasonable use. And thank God we've been bought, we've been purchased by Jesus Christ, and we're to be used by Him. We've been purchased by Him. It also means to buy out of the marketplace and to set free. And glad, thank God, glad tonight that we've been set free by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe this verse here, where we read in Titus chapter number 2, verse 14, I believe we see all four of these definitions that are given of redemption. I believe we see all four of them working there in that one verse. Who gave Himself for us. There's the purchase. There's the paying of the price. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, who we wait for, and that hope that we have in Him, that Christ is the one that gave Himself for us. He paid the price. He purchased us by paying the price Himself. Not only that, but that He might redeem us. That's the buy for oneself. He's redeemed us by His own blood, and He's brought us us out of the marketplace of sin. He's purified unto himself. And a peculiar people, that we are redeemed and we're peculiar and particular in this world. And therefore, we have been bought out of the marketplace of sin. And he has set us free. And the Bible says we're free indeed. Amen. And so we find tonight that salvation or redemption totally and completely is of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of his shed blood. Now we want to look at redemption tonight in two ways. And very simple, very easy. Nothing difficult, nothing hard. But we're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures tonight concerning this redemption that is of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we want to look at an Old Testament type. And then we're going to look at a New Testament truth. That's the only two things we're going to look at tonight as we look about the redemption that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 25. Leviticus chapter number 25. Now here in this chapter, we have what is called the Levitical law of redemption. God gives a pattern or a plan of the Old Testament, how that those folks could be redeemed and how that what redemption was talking about and what it was about. Now look in verse number 48 with me, if you're 47. It says, if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. Now notice that. After he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Now I want us to think first of all concerning the person in the Old Testament of redemption. Then we're talking about an Old Testament type now. Everything in the Old Testament, just about everything that's there, is a pointer, as we've noticed already, and it points to one thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at the Ark of Noah, it points to the Lord. If you look at these Old Testament Levitical offerings, they all point to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look to the tabernacle, the temple, it all points out to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be looking now at this type that we have. Now, a Jew could not sell his land. He could not sell it forever. He could, if he got in a financial bind or he had some problem there, he could sell that or what we would call mortgage it for a while. And if he could gain up enough money or enough goods to buy it back, he could do that. But the sad thing about it was that they usually never could do that. That's about like you and I tonight. When if you ever get in debt, you stay in debt. You just can't buy your way out. And it's always there, seemingly. And you pay and you pay and you pay, and you just can't get out of it. And it's the same principle here. But the Lord gave them a way out of redeeming that which they had. Most of the times we said they could not earn enough to buy it back or to buy the mortgage back. All they could do was wait for someone else to do it for them. Now I'm going to try to keep off of what we're looking at in the New Testament, but how that points to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a man to be a redeemer in the Old Testament, there were at least three requirements that had to be met. He first of all had to be related to that man. He had to have relationship. Yeah, let's say that I had to sell my property to someone else, because I needed the finances or I needed the goods that man could give me, and I just had tried and tried and tried to buy it back, but I just couldn't get enough. The only way I could redeem that back or have that redeemed, if I couldn't do it for myself, somebody else had to come and do it for me. Someone else had to be able to do that, and it had to be someone that was related to me. Let's look there again, verse number 48. The scripture says, and after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Now look at verse 49. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or if he be able, he may redeem himself. And he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that it was sold to him unto the year of Jubilee. Now we find here that it had to be related to him. Not only that, but the man that was going to be able to redeem that property or those goods that had been mortgaged or sold, and even sometimes they had to sell themselves into bondage or into slavery. And therefore they could not redeem themselves. And for them to be redeemed again, it had to be someone that was related to them. Secondly, it had to be someone that was able to do it. It was someone that was rich enough, able to do the redeeming back or the buying back of. Thank God we know Jesus Christ is rich enough and he's able to do that. And the third thing was that he had to be ready. He had to be willing to do that. And this redemption had to be given and had to be formulated in such a way that those that had to be redeemed had to want it, and those that was going to redeem had to want to do it. And we can bring that over now today. Thank God Jesus, he's able to redeem. He's rich enough to redeem. He's a near kinsman. He can redeem. But we have to want to be redeemed. God doesn't force it upon us. God, we're not the puppets, and we're not little robots running around. God has offered it to us freely if we would come and trust him and believe upon his name. And so we thank God tonight that these requirements had to be met in the Old Testament. We'll find in a few moments that they are met also in the New Testament. Not only is that the person of redemption, but there's a price of redemption. Look at verse number 51. It says, if there be yet many years behind, according to them, that shall be give again the price of his redemption. There's a price that had to be paid. There was something that had to be spent. There was something that had to be given. And we'll look at that in just a little while. The price was set by the one that had the authority over that land. He has taken the land from this individual. He has bought it from him, mortgaged it given him that mortgage. And he gives him the goods, and now he has the authority over that land. And he can set the price any way and any way he desires to do. It was a repayment of the initial payment plus the expenses and the development that was put into that particular property. And then the procedure is given. Oh, there's a blessed story in the Word of God that gives us the procedure of redemption. That's found in the book of Ruth, chapter number 4. Turn with me there, if you would, just for a moment. In the book of Ruth, in the Old Testament, chapter number 4, we find here the procedure that was followed in this redemption or redeeming of an individual. You know the story of Ruth. We've preached on it many times. I love the book of Ruth. Probably my favorite book in the Old Testament is this book right here. And concerning redemption, concerning the salvation, the bringing in of one. Of course, Ruth was a Moabitess. She was outside of the people of Israel. She was not a Jew. She was a Gentile. But she came into relationship with her husband. Her husband died, and now Naomi goes back to Jerusalem. You know the story well. And Ruth follows after her. Ruth makes that statement there in the first chapter, and she says, "Wherever you go, I'll go. Where you die, I'll die, and your God will be my God." And Ruth says, "I'm going to follow after thee." But when they get to Jerusalem, there had to be something done. There had to be some redemption take place. And in chapter 4, we find the procedure that is given. Now look with me in verse number 1. In Ruth chapter number 4, verse 1, it says, "Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Set ye down here. And they sat down. And he said to the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it." Now he's talking to a near kinsman. Now notice these three principles or requirements are already in effect here. He had to be related, had to be a near kinsman, and he had to be rich enough to buy it back. And as he says here in verse 4, if thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now here's that those requirements in effect. He had to be related, he had to be rich enough, and he had to be ready. But when it come down to Ruth's part, he says, I cannot. He said, I don't want to mire my own inheritance. I don't want to affect that. And so he says, I'm not ready to redeem that. And you know the rest of the story of how Boaz did. Boaz was related. He wasn't the nearest kinsman, but the near kinsman said, no, I'll not do that. I cannot do that. And so Boaz takes up the next place of the near kinsman, and he was related. He was rich enough. Thank God he was ready. And Boaz is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ that came to this world, that was related to us, that was rich enough, and thank God he is ready to save us from our sins. And so there is the procedure of redemption that is given. We don't have time to go into all the ways and all the things that took place. So that's the Old Testament type. That's just real quickly getting you some background of the things that was going to would have to happen if there was going to be redemption of an individual. Now let's think about the New Testament truth. Everything in the Old Testament is revealed and is given to us in the New Testament. And so we find now this Old Testament type is revealed and is given to us in a truth in the New Testament. Oh, I'm glad, thank God, we find the Scriptures tell us what happens. You see, when a person has to be redeemed, that means, first of all, he had to be sold. He had to be sold out. All of a sudden, he wasn't able to provide for himself, so he had to sell either his land or his goods to get the money to do that. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight there was a great sellout long years ago. We talked about that this morning. We'll not labor that fact and that point again tonight. But there, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, the whole generation, the whole race was sold out to Satan. Amen. I mean, they were sold under the bondage of sin. We had been sold out, and now we must, in order to have anything, we've got to be redeemed. Right. We've got to have redemption. The sellout has taken place. Adam sold us out, and through his sin, we are mired, and we're troubled by sin, and we're going to hell because of that sin without redemption. And then when a person is sold and when they are given over to someone else, there's a great slavery that comes into play. And I don't have to labor this point either. Tonight, the world's in slavery to sin. I mean, we're in bondage to sin, and the world is going as fast and hard as it can away from God. Why? Because sin has a hold on them, and Satan has a grip on their heart, and they're dying without God. Before there's a great sellout, where there's a great slavery, thank God tonight there's a great salvation. That's what we're going to talk about, and that's redemption that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's notice, first of all, the person of redemption. These are the same points that we had of the Old Testament typology of that. There had to be a person that would do, had to be a person that was able. And of course tonight we know that that person is none other than, thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. All we have been under the curse of sin and the curse of the law, but Jesus Christ has redeemed us, and He has brought us out of that marketplace of sin. He's the one that's paid the price. He's the one that has bought for Himself. All those definitions I gave you, Jesus is the person of redemption. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 1, turn there with me if you would just for a moment. The book of Ephesians, a great book upon redemption. Ephesians chapter number 1, and the Bible says, verse number 2 says, grace be to you and peace from the God our Father, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the person of redemption. We have peace with God. We have that perfect peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 3 says, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And we have blessings in the Lord. Verse 4 says that we've been chosen in Christ. Look there with me. It says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We've been redeemed. We've been purchased. We have peace. We have blessings. And we have been chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 5. We have adoption by the Lord. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. God tonight has put us in a place that we have been adopted into a family, and that adoption can never be broken. It's always there. And it's because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse number 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Tonight we are accepted in Jesus Christ. We that were far off, we that were in bondage, we that have been sold out to sin, thank God now tonight we are accepted in Him, because He is the one, the person of redemption. He's the one that saved us, made us what we are and what we ought to be, in whom we have redemption. Verse 7, through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. God, here in the book of Ephesians, one of the greatest books that you could ever study and ever read, you find the great grace that God has given to you and I. And here in these first 7 verses, we have peace with God. We have the blessings in Christ. We've been chosen in Christ. We're adopted by Christ. We're accepted by Christ. And then it says here, we have redemption through His blood. That's how we have all those things. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those three requirements that we mentioned earlier, we find in the Word of God. That first requirement of a Redeemer was one that had to be related. Somebody says, well, Jesus was the Son of God. Oh, but don't forget, He's also the Son of Man. The Bible tells you in Galatians chapter number 4 and verse number 4, it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. And then it says, made of a woman, made under the law. He is related to you and I. The Bible says in Philippians chapter number 2, verses 5 through 7 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now notice verse 7, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Before Jesus Christ could redeem us, He had to come from glory. I mean, the Bible tells me Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe Jesus Christ is always the Son of God. I don't believe He became the Son of God. That's heresy. But He's always been the Son of God. He is that part of the Trinity as the Son of God. But it didn't do us any good for Him to be up there as God. He had to come down here and be related to you and I. He had to take on the form of flesh. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verse 14, that great verse says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. John says, the Word of God, the Son of God, that Word that was spoken in Genesis when God said, let us make man, there, the Word of God, that being the Son of God. And now, in the fullness of time, God brought Him forth, made of a woman, born in the likeness, and created in the image of, and made in the image of man, took on the form and the likeness of man. Now, the Word is made flesh and dwells among us. He becomes related to us. The Bible says He was tempted in all points, such as you and I are, yet without sin. He was just as much man. He was just as much a human as you and I are tonight. But He's just as much God as He ever was. If you can explain that, you better than I am. I can't explain that. I just believe it. I just know it's true. And here we find the Old Testament laid down the way of redemption. And for one to be able to redeem, he had to be related. And God therefore sent His Son. It didn't take God by surprise. God knew in the fullness of time His Son was going to come, be born of a virgin, lay in a manger, and live a perfect life and die a sinner's death, that you and I might live forever. Redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16, for verily He took not on Him the nature of angels. Jesus Christ didn't take upon Him the nature of angels. He didn't take upon Him the nature and the form of the angelic beings of the archangel Michael and Gabriel. God, the Son, did not do that. But Hebrews 2:16 says, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. He became a man. Therefore, He is related to us. He meets the first requirement. He's related. We've been sold into slavery. We cannot buy ourselves out. We cannot work enough. We cannot do enough. And so therefore we must have one that will redeem. But to have a redeemer, we've got to have somebody that's related to us, that's able to do it. Now the second requirement was that he had to be rich. Had to have the ability to redeem. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Thank God tonight I know, first of all, that He's related to me. He's a man. He came in the form, in the likeness of man, suffered and died as a man, and went to the grave as a man. Now we find that the second requirement was that he had to be able to redeem. And the scripture says here that we know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and though he was rich, he became poor. Can you imagine the God of heaven? I mean, he's God. When you get into this, you can't fathom the thoughts of it. Amen. God the Son in heaven, always been God. He didn't become God, he's always God. He didn't become the Son, he's always the Son. Now he lays aside his holiness, his riches, his glory, his honor. And he puts upon himself a body of clay like you and I. Born of a woman. I'm so glad the scripture is very explicit about the birth of the Son of God. He was not born of man, he was born of a woman. If he'd been born of a man, he'd been just like you and I. And that would have made him where he could not redeem us. He wouldn't have been able. But he was born, made of a woman after, and the seed of Abraham. And now we find that those two requirements. He's related to us. He's rich. We say, and we say it very many times, our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills underneath the cattle. Our God owns it all. I mean, everything that this world has, we think we own, God owns it. It's his. He's given it to us just a little while, and he gives it to us just to use for a while, but it's all his, and therefore he's rich. He has the ability. He's related to us. Now we find out that he's rich. And thank God, third requirement was that he must be ready. I'm glad Jesus came for one purpose. He didn't come to set up some kingdom. He didn't come to overthrow the Roman government. Jesus Christ came to die. He came to shed his blood that we might have life. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have the power. Notice that I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Thank God tonight we know that Jesus Christ not only was related, he was not only rich, but he came to redeem. He was ready to redeem us. Thank God we have the precious word of God that tells us that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Some of the new translations today take out that word begotten and say it's of no use and it's no good. They don't understand what the Bible's all about. Amen. That word begotten means that Jesus Christ is the one and only Son of God. They say, well, we take that out because we are all sons and children of God. Yes, we are, but he's the only begotten of the Father. He's the only Son of God that came and made himself in the image and likeness of man, and suffered and died that we might have life. So we find that he was related to us. He was rich enough. Oh, he had enough power. He said, I've got power to lay my life down. I've got power to raise it again. And if he had the power to do that, he's got power to redeem me. And he's ready. He's willing. He's able to do that. That's the person of our redemption. The price of redemption, you don't have to wonder too much about that. The price in the Old Testament was the blood that had to be shed. They'd take those little lambs and those innocent animals, and they'd slit their throat. They would, they'd go through the ritual of what they had to do. And they had to have the shedding of blood. And the Bible says there what we read earlier. There in 1 Peter tells us about the precious blood. We're not redeemed with corruptible things. We're redeemed with the blood. We're not redeemed by those things that go out of fashion. People today, we live in a world that is so materially minded that we think everything has to be done a certain way, but that's just the world's way. And we're not redeemed by that. We're not redeemed by the fashions of this world. We're not redeemed by the thoughts of this world. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Last time we met, had the message on this, we found that lamb had to be pure and spotless and perfect there in the book of Exodus. A lamb that's taken from the flock and was examined and made sure it was perfect. It wasn't a sick one. It wasn't one that's about to die, but it was the best of the flock. And I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus Christ was the best that God had. God in the flesh. So we find that the price of redemption is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we read there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, we have redemption through His blood, the shedding of blood. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 5 and verse 9, it says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We're justified. We're saved. If you haven't gotten the message thus far, we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. It's all it's been. It's all the minutes I've been up here has been to say one thing. We're saved by the blood. We're saved through redemption of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter number 9. We've seen the person of redemption in the Old Testament. We've seen the person of redemption in the New Testament. We've seen the price of redemption in the Old Testament. It was the blood of lambs and goats and turtle doves and bullocks and all those things that were listed. We find the price of redemption in the New Testament is one price, and it's the blood of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We notice the procedure that was followed there in the book of Ruth, how that they had to go through certain things. And now I want to give you the procedure of the New Testament of our redemption. Hebrews chapter number 9. And let's begin reading verse number 11. It says, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, notice this, but by His own blood He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifying the pure of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause He is the mediator of a new testament or a new covenant, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament is dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined to you. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood of the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ, notice verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which is a figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away the sin by the sacrifice of what? Himself. And as it appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment, so was Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and of them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There's not a better explanation. Man cannot articulate a better explanation than the procedure of redemption than what we've just read. Where there is a testament, when a person lives, he writes what is called the last will and testament of, and has their name. And I believe everybody ought to have one. Everybody needs a will, because if you don't have, the state will tell you what to do when you're gone, tell your family. Everybody needs one. But here the Word of God tells you that there's a testament written. The first testament was sealed by the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer. And we'll hopefully be able to get into some of these things, the ashes of that red heifer, and what it represents and what it means and how it speaks to us. And we find those things were of the of the time. Those things were before. But now, thank God, Jesus Christ has done all that work Himself for us. Not here upon the earth. Those things are just a type of what's in heaven. The Bible says He entered into heaven one time. He went there and did the work of a high priest, and that's the procedure of redemption. The blood was shed, the blood's taken to heaven, and it's applied at the mercy seat. I believe that with all my heart. And it's there tonight making a statement to all of heaven that Jesus Christ gave His blood, that Jesus Christ was related to man. All those Old Testament saints, all those people, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. All those folks that are in heaven tonight, and I do believe they're in heaven. If I didn't believe that, I'd shut my Bible and go home and never open it again. But I believe folks that die, they go to be with the Lord. And they're there tonight, and I believe they're rejoicing around the things of God, knowing that the blood of Christ is there as a token, as an emblem of His redemption. He was related to us. He was rich enough, and He was ready to redeem. He did it all for you and I. No wonder we have those great songs and have those great verses about the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot minimize, you cannot belittle the blood of our Savior. I know the world tonight, today, they talk about a bloody religion. They say, oh, you fundamentalists, you have a slaughterhouse religion. If that's what they want to call it, then that's fine. I believe in the blood of Christ. They say, oh, we don't want to talk about the blood. No, most people wouldn't want to talk about the blood because it's that we know it's the life of the flesh. And when we lose our blood, folks, we're in trouble. We can just lose so much and it's over with. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Jesus Christ was born of woman, made after God. The Spirit of God came upon Virgin Mary and she conceived and bare a son. She did not have Adam's blood. She didn't have that sinful blood that came because we had a great sellout. Our blood's tainted. Our blood's defeated. It's destroyed. It's got death in it. Jesus Christ was born made of a woman, and now He sheds His pure, righteous, sinless, royal blood for you and I. And now He takes it to heaven, and He puts it there on the mercy seat. You see, the Scripture here just told us that all those things of the tabernacle, those were just a type of the heavens. There's a tabernacle. There's a place in heaven just much more beautiful than what we can imagine with our eye. These things are just a pointer to what Christ did. There we have the person. There we have the redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. If Jesus had not have died, if Jesus had not have come and suffered and died upon the cross of Calvary, shed His blood, you and I tonight, we'd be headed for hell just as fast as we go there. Thank God tonight it's because of the blood of the Lamb. Because of one day of the old rugged cross, He hung there, shed His blood that we might live. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, full of suffering and shame. All today people use it for everything else, but I tell you what, the cross was nothing more than an execution place. It's the same thing in the Jewish mind or the Roman mind of those days. It was the same thing in their mind as the electric chair would be to our mind. It's a place of cruelty, a place of death, a place of losing your life, of judgment. But thank God on an old rugged cross, 2,000 years ago, the Son of God freely laid His life down. He said, I have the power to lay it down. He said, I have the power to raise it again. And by His own Spirit He dismissed, and of His own power He raised Himself again. And therefore we have redemption tonight. We've been bought out of the marketplace of sin. We've been purchased with a price. We've been bought for one's purpose, for oneself. We're not our own now. We've been bought with a price. And that price is the precious blood of the Son of God. Let's stand tonight. I ask you a question. Have you had the blood applied to your heart? The Old Testament there, when the Israelites were in Egypt, that last great plague that came to the Egyptians was death. And the only way those Israelites could escape that death was that the blood had to be applied. And the only way this world ever escaped the death that is awaiting them is that the blood has to be applied. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to their heart. And I really believe, I personally believe, that when that blood was applied to the Jewish doorpost, I sort of believe there was some Egyptian doorposts maybe that had the blood, because the Bible says there was a great mixed multitude that went out with them. The only way they could have gone out was by the blood. And that multitude gave a lot of trouble, and they didn't have everything maybe they needed, but I believe they had some, had the blood applied. So folks, what we need to realize, what we need to know, is that it's through the blood. We're saved by grace through faith, and it's all centered around the blood of the Son of God. Redemption through Him and through His blood. Our Father, thank You now for the study once again. God, may You remind our hearts over fresh and anew that we've been bought with a great price. Oh yes, God, we've sold into slavery. Much bondage and much wickedness. But I'm glad, thank God, there's great salvation with the Lord Jesus Christ. The price has been paid. The blood has been shed. And all we have to do is accept it and trust You by the Word of God. Father, bless tonight everyone that's been in listening and attentive tonight as we study. Lord, may we as Christians, may we draw ourselves nigh to Thee. And Lord, may we understand more, and may we realize more, and may we love You more to know how much You loved us, that You gave Your Son, and His Son gave His life. Oh, thank You, dear Lord, for shedding Your blood that we might live. He that was rich became poor, that we that were poor might become rich. God, help us to have that closeness and that assurance of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in His name tonight. Amen. What number?
It's
26. Page number 26 tonight. God's spoken to your heart and you need to come. And then, of course, the altar's always open during any time. The invitation, if you have need, then we invite you to come as we sing. I will sing of my Redeemer, His wondrous love to me. Page number 26. I will sing of my Redeemer.